Sattva Shishimaras Devanga Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskandidi Pounder Chara Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Go Pemandi Hari Hari Bo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, text 17. Mantresu mam va upahuya yat tvam Mantresu mam va upahuya yat tvam. Akunti tat kanda. Akunti ta kanda. Sadatma. Bodha. I'll go through the whole thing. Priche. Prabho. Mugda. Eva pramatas. Tan. No. Mano Mohayativa Deva. Mantre sumamba upahuya yatvam. Mantre sumamba upahuya yatvam. Akuntita kanda sadatma bodha. Akuntita kanda sadatma bodha. Prachche prabho mugda eva pramatas. Prachche prabho mugda eva pramatas. Tano mano moha yativa deva. Tano mano moha yativa deva. Mantre sumamba upahuya yatvam. Akuntita kanda sadapma bodha. Prachche prabho mugda eva pramatas. Tano mano moha yativa deva. Others, please. Bhimatam. Kuntika. Vaishnavis. Anybody else? Okay. Mantreshu. In consultation. Mam. Unto me. Vai. As either. Upahuya. By calling. Yat. As much as. Tvam. Your lordship. Akuntita, without hesitation. Akanda, without being separated. Sada, eternally. Atma, self. Bodha, intelligent. Prichche, asked. Prabho, O my Lord. Mugda, bewildered. Eva, as if it were so. Apramata, although never bewildered. Tat, that. Na, our. Manaha, mind. Mohayati, bewilders. Eva, as it is so. Deva, O my Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, this is Uddhava speaking. O my Lord, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time, and there is no limitation to your perfect knowledge. Thus, you were sufficiently able to consult with yourself, yet you called upon me for consultation as if bewildered, although you are never bewildered. And this act of yours bewilders me. Purport. Uddhava was never actually bewildered, but he says that all these contradictions appear to be bewildering. The whole discussion between Krishna and Uddhava was meant for the benefit of Maitreya, who is sitting nearby. The Lord used to call Uddhava for consultation when the city was attacked by Jarasandha and others, and when he executed great sacrifices as part of his routine royal work as Lord of Dwarka. The Lord has no past, present, and future because he is unhampered by the influence of eternal time, and thus nothing is hidden from him. He is eternally self-intelligent. Therefore, his calling for Uddhava to give him enlightenment is certainly astonishing. All these actions of the Lord appear to be contradictory, although there is no contradiction in the routine activities of the Lord. Therefore, it is better to see them as they are and not to attempt to explain them. Om aginata mirandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshudun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Okay, so this is kind of an interesting translation and purport here. In the translation, Uddhava is stating that Krishna, he appeared to be bewildered, and because of that, he's asking advice from Uddhava. What should we do about this situation with Jarasandha, etc.? But Uddhava is making the point that actually it's impossible for the word bewildered means to be confused or perplexed. So Uddhava is making the point that, but it's impossible for you, Lord, to be bewildered because you're never divided by the influence of time. Your knowledge is perfect, past, present, and future. I think Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna is eternally, as he put it, eternally self-intelligent. Krishna's eternally self-intelligent. He's never bewildered. You know, past, present, and future, Krishna knows exactly what's going on. So Uddhava is making that point. He appeared to be bewildered. That's why he's always asking Uddhava for advice. But Uddhava is pointing out that, but you don't need my, you know, you don't need my advice. Except, and Uddhava is saying, I'm bewildered. He goes here. You were sufficiently able to consult with yourself, yet you called upon me for consultation, as if bewildered, although you are never bewildered. That's easy to understand, how Krishna is never bewildered. And then he goes on to say, and this act of yours bewilders me. So Uddhava is saying, but I'm bewildered by that you're doing that. Now, Prabhupada, in the first sentence in the purport, Prabhupada says, actually, he says, Uddhava was never actually bewildered. But he says that all these contradictions appear to be bewildering. So this is interesting. Uddhava is saying that Krishna's not bewildered. He's saying, I'm bewildered. And Prabhupada's saying, actually, no, Uddhava's not bewildered. Right? And we would say, certainly Prabhupada's not bewildered. Right? So Uddhava must be bewildered. How? Because if Prabhupada, he can't be bewildered. If he's saying Uddhava's not bewildered, despite the fact that Uddhava is saying he's bewildered, how could that be so? Well, Prabhupada kind of answers it right here in the purport itself. He says, appear. He says, but he says that all these contradictions appear to be bewildering. Okay? So, in other words, Uddhava is not really bewildered. It's like his bewilderment is like the bewilderment of that Brahmin that Lord Chaitanya met on his tour of South India. Lord Chaitanya went to one temple, and there was a Brahmin there who was given the instruction by his spiritual master to read the entire Bhagavad Gita, I think daily, something like that. But he couldn't read. So apparently that Brahmin, could not understand the Bhagavad Gita because he couldn't read. But he was the best understander of the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody knows that story real quick. So, you know, other Brahmins were kind of making fun of him like that. So that Lord Chaitanya, when he saw that Brahmin holding the book and looking at the picture and the tears were coming from his eyes, Lord Chaitanya approached him. And the Brahmin could understand that, okay, he's not coming to make fun of me. He's asking, you know, sincerely. So the Brahmin explained to him, I can't read. My spiritual master gave me this instruction. Because I can't read, I don't understand it. And Lord Chaitanya said, but wait a second. You're saying you don't understand the Bhagavad Gita, but I see you sitting here and you're crying. So what's that all about? And then the Brahmin said, well, yes, I can't read, but I'm sitting, I'm looking at this picture and of Krishna. He's become the chariot driver for Arjuna. And when I think of that, how kind and loving and affectionate Krishna is to his devotee, that he would take the position of the chariot driver, which is not like a high, you know, a chariot driver is not a kshatriya. You know, he's not considered also, it's not a high class position. Krishna would take that lowly job to serve his devotee, and he says, I'm overwhelmed by, you know, when I feel emotion, when I look at this picture and I, you know, contemplate what's going on here, that Krishna took that position to help his devotee, and that's why I'm crying. And then Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with his answer. Lord Chaitanya embraced him and said, actually, no, forget about these other guys over here. You're the real understander of the Bhagavad Gita. You really understand the Bhagavad Gita. See? Couldn't read. So Uddhava's bewildered like that. He's saying, I'm bewildered. What do you really... But Prabhupada says, apparently, he appears to be bewildered. Really, what he's expressing here is, he's appreciating how wonderful Krishna is. You know, how wonderful he's, you know, it's bewildering to him how wonderful Krishna is. That's what's bewildering. He's not bewildered by, well, how can this be? He's bewildered how wonderful Krishna is, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Prabhupada says here in the purport, he's eternally self-intelligent, yet he's consulting with his devotees. You know, and Uddhava's like that Brahmin in that, you know, in that story, he's overwhelmed. You know, that Brahma was overwhelmed by feelings of love for Krishna, just, you know, contemplating how he was so kind and affectionate and loving to his devotees. Same way, same thing. Uddhava's appreciating like that. He's thinking, wow, Krishna's so amazing, wonderful. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's eternally self-intelligent, yet he's consulting. He's, you know, he's so kind and loving that he desires to have like these loving exchanges with his devotees, that although there's absolutely no necessity on his part, he's consulting his devotees like that. So Uddhava's, quote unquote, bewildered by that. He's, you know, appreciating that. So that's, I think, the way that needs to be understood. And, you know, that's there potentially for everybody. Everybody could enter into that understanding that Brahman had and that Uddhava had. But there is there's a qualification. And I'm going to read something. I'm going to read an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave in 1966 where he touches upon, well, more than touches upon, he kind of gives insight into what that qualification is. Okay, so this is, as I said, a lecture Prabhupada gave in 1966. He says, you can see God, but how? It depends upon how much you have surrendered to God, how much qualification you have acquired for seeing God. Seeing God is not very difficult, but at the same time, it is very difficult. And he gives an example. He says, just like if you want to see President Johnson, if I am unknown to him, I will have to take so many formalities. I will have to write to his secretary, and the secretary will give me some time or may not give me some time. So many things. But if you are personally known to President Johnson, you are intimately thick and thin with him. As soon as you call him, Mr. Johnson, I want to see you. And he goes, yes, you can come. So Papa goes on, says, so it depends on the thick and thin ship of your relations with the Supreme Lord. Nice expression. The thick and thin ship of your relations with the Supreme Lord. If you can establish your relationship with the Supreme Lord in love, and then he digresses, he says, the Lord does not require our cooperation. He is full in himself. So it's like in this example Uddhava is giving. Krishna didn't require to consult Uddhava for what to do. You know, he's eternally self-intelligent. But it says here, he doesn't require my service, but still, if you love him, then he reciprocates. So that's what was going on here with that Brahman and the story with Lord Chaitanya and particularly with Uddhava here and Krishna. So our reciprocation with the Lord depends on the proportion of our love of Godhead. This love of Godhead can be attained by Krishna consciousness. So that's the understanding of Uddhava. Uddhava was able to, had the privilege of being that close to Krishna because he had that thick and thin relationship. Uddhava and Krishna like this, and even closer. See? So he could... Krishna's consulting him. Now, that's a point. Now, this is happening. Uddhava is speaking to Krishna in the presence of Maitreya Muni. Okay? And Prabhupada points out in the purport here that this, he says, the whole discussion between Krishna and Uddhava was meant for the benefit of Maitreya, who was sitting nearby. So, Maitreya Muni was a devotee. We heard that stated earlier. But he wasn't a pure devotee. He was a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. So, this was done for the benefit of Maitreya Muni. So, my understanding of that would be that Krishna is trying to elevate Maitreya Muni to the platform of pure devotional service. Uddhava is already on the platform of pure devotional service. Of course, Krishna doesn't need anybody's help to do that. You know, Krishna doesn't need Maitreya Muni, doesn't need Uddhava to do anything or Maitreya Muni to do anything. He could do it just by willing that, but that's not how he works. two points involved here. One is that expression in English, takes two to tango, right? Krishna wants this reciprocation from the living entity. Krishna could have just, you know, he's in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna doesn't need anybody's help to enlighten somebody. He can enlighten any soul at any time, in any, you know, whenever he wants. But he wants to see that, you know, that soul wants it, that they're properly using their free will, that they're desiring to be in that relationship, then Krishna. So that was one point. The other point is that Uddhava, which we kind of already touched upon, that Krishna's doing this with Uddhava. You know, why does, you know, if he wants to, because it says here, it's this whole conversation was meant for the benefit of Maitreya. So Krishna doesn't have to be in a conversation to benefit Maitreya. He could have spoke to Maitreya directly. See, or he could have just looked at Maitreya, like Lord Chaitanya used to do, just look at somebody and he could have, you know, blessed him, benedicted him with pure devotional service. But he's doing it like this. One reason, as we just mentioned, to give Maitreya Muni a chance to properly use his free will and become attracted and engage, you know, take, and also to have this relationship with Uddhava. You see, Uddhava doesn't have to be in the picture, but Krishna, he likes to do things with his devotees. He enjoys being with his pure devotees so much. So he's doing like this with Uddhava, but it's for the benefit of Maitreya Muni. An example of that comes to my mind is from my own experience. It's like just like when we go out on Sankirtan sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, where like I'm go out with Sachin and Or or Ananda Kirtan, and we'll be at the book table, and so like say I, for instance, say it's me, I stop somebody, and I tell them about the books. You know, I'm trying to get them to take some books and give a donation, and they're showing interest, and so then it comes to the point where I say, well, can you give a donation? We'd like you to have these books. Please just give a donation. And they respond, well, yeah, you know, I really like to, but I don't have any cash. I don't have any money. And now, so the job of the distributor is to try to help the person in the sense that we know that, yeah, they're interested. You know, they actually want, but they're attached at the same time. So, and this is the position of a lot of people in the material world. They want Krishna, they want to advance in spiritual life, but they're attached at the same time. So, despite the fact that the person, he actually wants the books, he's attached, so he doesn't want to give up his money. So he'll say, okay, I don't have any money. So I could just say, oh, wow, what a shame. Do you have any other form of payment? And they could just say no, and that's the end of it. But to help them, we do something a little bit more clever than that, you know. First of all, they teach you when you learn about sales, they teach you never ask a question that somebody could answer no. So I don't do that. I would never say, well, do you have any other way you can pay? No, this is what we do. And this is like, I think, what's going on here. I say to them, oh, yeah. I said, well, you don't have any money. He says, yeah, what's going on? Nobody has any money here in this school. Nobody carries any money. What's going on? And they say, oh, yeah, that's because we all use cards. You know, we all use a card. And I say, oh, yeah, so you use your card to pay for everything. He goes, yeah, I just use my card for everything. And then I say, hey, Sachi, credit card. You know, credit card, thank you. Yeah, I didn't say clearly. So he's telling me, you know, I'm pulling it out of him. I said, yeah, I just use my credit card to pay for everything. So I say, well, hang on a second. Hey, Sachi, annoying. Do we accept card? Now, I know darn well that we accept card. But I say, Sachi, do we accept card? And he looks over at me and says, yeah, sure, card's okay. Then I look back and say, oh, yeah, card's okay. Is your card credit or debit? And then they say, or whatever, you know. And I say, okay, yeah, we could do that. And they hand me the card. And then sometimes they try to even squirm out of it. Then they'll say, they might say credit. And say, oh, actually, it's debit. I say, no problem. I'll just change the setting here, and, you know. And we get them. So it's like that. You know, we're trying to help them. Somebody might think, oh, well, isn't that a little bit tricky or dishonest? No, it's not cheating. It's not cheating. It's tactic. It was actually in 1975, Prabhupada met with the book distributors in Atlanta. And one of them said, Prabhupada, you know, we're trying to become, make our methods of book distribution more honest and straightforward. And you know, then, so people don't feel cheated. And Prabhupada said, no, there's no question of cheating. He said, he gave the example of a mother, if she's she has a child that's sick. So that she says, look, take this medicine and I'll give you the Luglu. And the child goes along with it. And of course, Prabhupada says, but then the Luglu is not delivered. So Prabhupada says, that is not cheating. You know, that is tactics. That's how he put it. So devotees, and he said, and then Prabhupada went on to make the point in that exchange that that's, you know, Rupa Goswami, we're following that principle of Rupa Goswami, yena tena prakarena manakrishna navesya, that somehow or another we have to engage people in Krishna's service, and then like that, everything's okay. So in that way, I don't think Krishna and Uddhava are necessarily trying to be sneaky here, but this is being done for the benefit of Maitreya. You know, he's not on that same level as Maitreya is not on the level of Uddhava. Uddhava's not just any old pure devotee. He's a confidential associate of the Lord. We heard in one of the previous purports that, you know, an expansion of Uddhava was a Vasu, and he's some very special type of devotee, Uddhava. But Maitreya is not on that level. So Krishna and Uddhava, it's like a pastime. Between them two, it's a pastime. And the purpose is they're trying to help Uddhava. They're trying to elevate Maitreya to this platform of pure devotional service, to give him a chance to... He has free will. He could not. He could just kind of, you know, stay back there and just kind of think, oh, that's interesting. But he could enter, you know, maybe by Uddhava saying that he's bewildered, Maitreya, I don't know, I haven't read forward, he could think, well, Uddhava's, he's admitting he's, you know, not understanding. Maybe I could say something and, you know, he doesn't feel embarrassed to say, well, I have a question too, or I'd like to get something clarified as well. It's an opportunity for Maitreya to kind of enter into the whole thing, enter into this exchange of pure devotional service. So that's how I'm understanding what's going on here. And actually, this is very characteristic of the Lord and pure devotees, specifically that they're always trying to do something for the benefit of those people who are not already on the platform of pure devotional service. This is Krishna and Uddhava trying to do this for the benefit of Maitreya, but I mean, that's what goes on among, you know, with the Lord and the devotees. I mean, Prabhupada is a great example of that. Prabhupada gave us all these the books for our benefit. You know, it's for the benefit of the conditioned souls. This sort of occurred to me earlier this morning. You know, back during the time of Lord Chaitanya, maybe a week or so ago, we heard that when Lord Chaitanya was touring South India, all the people he came in contact with, they became Krishna conscious. They received bhakti shakti, which is a combination of the chit and the ananda potency, the knowledge and the pleasure potency combined. And they received that by just coming in contact with Lord Chaitanya. And then when those people went back to their village and people met them, they received the bhakti shakti. And then when people met those people, right, they received the bhakti shakti. They became Krishna conscious. It's like sort of like a spiritual pandemic. You know, just like somebody has COVID and they meet somebody who has COVID and they get COVID and then they meet somebody and that person gets COVID from that person. But this is like an epidemic in a good way. You know, people they caught Krishna consciousness from Lord Chaitanya, and those people who caught Krishna consciousness from Lord Chaitanya gave it to other people, and those people gave it to other people, and the people, in the case of COVID, the people who were unfortunate catch it, but in the case of the Krishna consciousness epidemic, the people who are unfortunate don't catch it. You know, COVID is a bad thing, and if you catch it, it's a bad thing, but Krishna consciousness, bhakti shakti, is a good thing, and if you catch it, you're fortunate. So anyway, that's the way it was working as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, during the time of Lord Chaitanya, that's how Krishna consciousness spread, right? That's what it says. And it spread like that. It doesn't mention anything about books being distributed. So, but somehow or another, we were, you know, Prabhupada was given that instruction by his spiritual master to print, to write books and have them distributed. And, made me ask, well, how come the movements isn't spreading the way it was spreading 500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya was here? I mean, certainly Prabhupada had Bhakti Shakti. How come people who came in contact with him didn't get the Bhakti Shakti and then give it to the people who met them, got the... I don't know for sure. I mean, I just started first thinking about it this morning, just before the class. But, you know, it does say in Prabhupada's Pranam mantra, it says, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, that people here in the West are very much influenced by voidism and impersonalism. So, you know, maybe that's something to do with how covered over the people in Kali Yuga are now, as opposed to the way they were just, say, 500 years ago. But in any event, that Bhakti Shakti is there in Prabhupada's books. You see? So, if we weren't fortunate enough, the human race or people in general weren't fortunate enough to, like, get that Bhakti Shakti directly from Prabhupada and become, like, Krishna conscious. Some people perhaps were, you know. But in general, the Bhakti Shakti is in Prabhupada's books. When you read Prabhupada's books, there's Bhakti Shakti. And you can get that from, and that's why, you know, people become devotees as a result of reading these books. Because it's not just, as Prabhupada said, it's not just A, B, C, D, you know. He has to think, he thought carefully, and he's putting his devotional... is devotional potency in the books. And that's why when you read the books, you become enlivened and inspired, you know, because the Bhakti Shakti is in the books. So that's another example of how not just Krishna and Uddhava, but devotees in general, you know, Lord Chaitanya, predecessor acharyas, Prabhupada, how they're trying to do things that are meant for the benefit of the general populace. So that's kind of very characteristics of pure devotees. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question? Dr. Denoy. Okay.
If nobody has a question, I have a comment. So everything that you just said, everything that Krishna does is for the benefit of everyone. So there was a recollection, my memory came to me, that because the class at the beginning you were saying is the bewildering factor. So Prabhupada said, no, he's not bewildered, but Uddhava said he was bewildered. And then all these things, so it just came to my mind about an incident that happened when in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says that Ashwatthama killed the children of Draupadi. And then after that, Arjuna went after him. Mm-hmm. And then he brought him back. And obviously, he wants to kill him. Draupadi doesn't want, and she gives all the reasons why he shouldn't be killed. Because he's the son of a guru. And he's a brahmana. And she says, I'm a mother, and I can feel what the mother felt after that. So don't kill him. But Bhima says, kill him. And Yudhishthira doesn't want, Krishna wants, so... Arjuna appears to be in a very bewildering situation, what to do. So then, the point that comes here, that I still have maybe a question or a doubt, is that Arjuna doesn't know, but Krishna says, okay, Arjuna, kill him in such a way that you please everyone, something like that. So he has to do something in which everyone is pleased. But how is he going to do it? What is that intelligence come from? So my understanding is that actually Krishna within the heart of the pure devotee acts. But then the question is, if Krishna is doing that, that means that Arjuna doesn't have the free will right there. Because it's Krishna deciding. He's inspiring him. Can you comment on that?
Well, okay.
Do you understand?
I mean, yeah. So clearly what was going on there was not a question of, you know, it wasn't a court where they were trying to make, you know, decide what the justice was. I mean, he was going to be punished. And so, you know, it seemed like Krishna was more concerned with interacting with his devotees, you know, Arjuna, Draupadi, Bhima, Yudhishthir. It was like, it's a lila. They were, you know, he's interacting with them. And the big thing was, that was, I think, overshadows the issue of what's the justice here for this person. He's going to be punished one way or the other. He's going to get punished, whether he was killed on the spot or just humiliated or whatever, you know. He's going to get punished, and Krishna's interacting with his devotees. So that, you kind of brought that out. And the other thing is, Archie's got something to say. Well, you know, Arjuna still had free will there. I mean, he could have not taken Krishna's lead. I don't know. Actually, on that second one, I really can't think of anything intelligent to say in response to your kind of question. Archita.
Everyone is acting on the prompting of the supersoul. We know that. Even the ant, the flies, the elephants, everybody's acting on the prompting of the supersoul. Mm-hmm. The difference between the pure devotee and the conditioned soul is that the pure devotee does exactly what Krishna wants to do. We all have this conscience. You go into a situation and you're hearing inside, don't do this. And you've been trained not to do it like a thief. But because the will to enjoy separately from God is so strong, we go against that. So Krishna says, actually, the thief wants to steal and he's praying to me, please give me the intelligence how to get into this house and steal. And the householder doesn't want this stuff stolen, and he's asking for the intelligence how to protect his house so it's not stolen. So Krishna has to satisfy everybody. In every case, Krishna is prompting. But those who are conditioned, they don't want to hear what God wants. They want to hear how to do what they want to do. So Krishna says, okay, I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't steal. But you really want to steal, so here, okay. You pop the hood, and you do this, and you turn on the ignition, you jump in the car and drive away. So you do that. Because that's what you really want to do. You don't want to hear, don't do it. Whereas the pure devotees, they want to hear from Krishna what Krishna wants them to do, and they do it. That's the difference. Everybody's hearing from Krishna internally. So everybody has free will. The pure devotees follow Krishna freely because they really want to please him. It's like if you really want to please somebody, then you ask them, what can I do to please you? You don't just speculate. So the pure devotees, they don't speculate. They want to know from Krishna what to do to please you. So Krishna tells them, and they do it. It's not always what we think would be pleasing. Like when Krishna told Arjuna to kill Karna when he came off the cart, that's not necessarily agreeable to everybody. Many people think that's horrible. How could Krishna tell him to do? How could Krishna tell Arjuna to fight in the first place? Why not just let him go to the forest and, you know, hang out like he wanted to and not fight? But the pure devotees want to do what Krishna wants them to do because they know that's what pleases Krishna. Even if it doesn't please our sense of what's right and wrong or proper or improper or whatever.
So is
they do
answer,
what Krishna wants them to do.
Is the direct answer to his question then that internally Arjuna was desiring that I want to do what's going to...
Yeah, you know. He still has free will. No, his question was, does Arjuna have free will or not? Because, you know, Krishna already decided and he's just doing that. But that's what makes you a pure devotee, to do what Krishna decides, what Krishna wants. Krishna says in the Gita, for those who have controlled the mind, the super soul is already reached. So if you control your mind, then you'll hear clearly what Krishna wants you to do, and you'll do it voluntarily. It doesn't mean that your free will is gone, but you want to know what Krishna wants, you want to do what Krishna wants, and then Krishna tells you what he wants, and then you do it freely. It's not that your free will is not there.
Make sense? Okay. We have time for a last thing, I guess. Prana Sankirtan. Yeah, one last comment or question.
What is difference between Arjuna and South Indian Brahmana? You know, Arjuna, he heard Bhagavad Gita and his pure devotee, he understand everything.
Yeah.
And Brahmana, he was just crying and he cannot read. What's the difference between these two? I mean, both of them are pure devotee, but still.
I don't see any difference.
That
Brahman, he had the proper appreciation. He came to the correct conclusion. just like Arjuna came to the correct conclusion. Of course, that was all staged, you know, but yeah, Arjuna came to the correct conclusion, and that Brahman, he, even though he couldn't read, he came to the correct understanding. So, in essence, they're the same.
So, more we read Srila Prabhupada books, more we are empowered to distribute books. More we are reading Srila Prabhupada books, more empowered. Okay.
It's common. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Gantaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.